looks like a cheap Chinese knockoff, except without any of them pesky Chinese. It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. And here's them idiot hosts of yours, Derek Knight and Colin Burton.
It is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight from sonofcheese.com. With us, as always, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com. Say hi to the kids, Colin.
Hi, kids.
And, you know, in the past few weeks, it's just been Colin and I, and that's okay, I know. But there's some people out there that demand more Heather. Listener demands more Heather. Listener gets what listener wants. Heather, my sister from Matted Spam, is in the room.
Hi.
And that's not all. We've got Justin Carmichael, who has been with us on previous podcasts from jewario.blogspot.com.
Shalom, my peeps.
And as if that weren't enough, Justin's wife, Jennifer, the poet from, what episode was that we interviewed you on? You probably don't know the number.
I don't know.
Nobody really pays attention to
it. Yeah, starving poet here.
Yeah, but you are with us, and that's wonderful. And we've got many, many things to cover today. In fact, the top story that I'd like to cover, and we usually try not to cover news items because we suck at it so much, but this one, Colin passed it along to me last week, and I really couldn't avoid talking about it because it seems that if you call people names online, some people out there, you just never know who you're dealing with. Some people might get in the car and drive 1,300 miles just to burn down your shanty.
I heard about this on Kilo.
Yeah, a Navy officer, not an officer, I guess, but a Navy man. It says Navy man. Navy man. He's
in
a Navy
the
man. Yes, one of the village people was angered when someone mocked him as a nerd over the interweb. He climbed into his car and drove 1,300 long miles from Virginia to Texas to teach the guy that slighted him a lesson. As he made his way towards Texas, Fire Controlman Second Class Petty Officer Russell Tavares posted photos online showing the welcome signs at several state borders as if to prove to his interweb friends that he was not fooling around. Wouldn't that be awesome? You're checking the guy's live journal, he keeps getting closer and closer to you, and it's like, oh, crap.
I'm coming.
And he finally did arrive, and he burned down the guy's trailer. It's not enough that the guy lives in a trailer, but he burned it down. This week, Tavares was sentenced to 7 years in prison after pleading no contest to arson and admitting that he set the blaze. John G. Anderson is the guy that mocked him and brought down the rain of fire from the fireman. He's 59 years of age. Yeah. His quote is, "I didn't think anybody was stupid enough to try and kill anybody over an internet fight." He suffered smoke inhalation while trying to put out the 2005 blaze that caused $50,000 in damage to his trailer and computer equipment. So that tells me he suffered a total loss.
He might have had some clothes, too, though.
Well, I guess that's probably true. I mean, maybe a piece of clothing or two.
A piece
of clothing.
Yeah, but seriously, I mean, a 59-year-old guy getting into a fight on the internet?
Dude, it happens. And it's not just that, but he runs a haunted house in Waco, Texas. The feud started when the old guy, who runs a haunted house near Waco, joined a picture-sharing website and posted his artwork and political views. Well, he ended up having to block some people from his page because of insults and foul language. Go figure. And like that never happens on the web.
No.
But and then they the others whom he blocked, retaliated by making obscene digitally altered pictures of him. This is what he claims. Anderson, who went by the screen name Johnny Darkness, traded barbs with Tavares, a.k.a. Pyro Dice.
That's foretelling.
Saw that one coming.
That's right. Investigators say that Tavares, or Pyro Dice, I think heretofore Tavares should be known only as Pyro Dice.
I think he should get it, like, tattooed on his shoulder blade in prison.
Oh, he will, believe me. That and other things. But investigators say that Pyro Dice boiled over when Anderson called him a nerd and posted a digitally altered photo of him, making him look like a skinny boy in high water pants holding a gun and a laptop under a Revenge of the Nerds sign.
But see, that's not even a nerd sort of thing. It's more of a geek sort of thing. He's not even a nerd enough to know the difference between nerd and geek.
And you know, the problem here is if everybody whom I've ever made fun of online or, God forbid, altered a picture of came to get me, I'd have been dead by now.
Well, one of them's sitting right there, yeah. So can you invite him to your house?
I know. Well, by the way, Colin, reach behind you and turn the death clock over, would you?
No.
Then we know once you've once the sand through the hourglass have finished their course, we know it's time for you to go home. Anyway.
Or it's time for me to kill.
That could be. Anyway, Pyro Dice obtained Johnny Darkness's real name and hometown from Johnny Darkness's webpage about his Museum of Horror's haunted house. Here's a great idea. I'm going to make fun of people, but I'm going to have all my information readily available to them.
Kind of like what you do.
Kind of like what I do, yes. Although I don't really get into the flaming wars with anybody. Although I could. Anybody want to get in a flame war out there?
Well, actually, this Pyro Dice has got like 7 years on his hands. He could
hear
what you're talking about him and come get you when he's done.
Let me tell you, he probably doesn't have access to a computer, though.
I'm sure he does.
Wow. Yeah, that's a library argument.
Your insights are stimulating.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
In the prison library. I'm pretty sure they got computers.
So anyway, mm-hmm. Pyro Dice took leave from his post as a weapons system operator at the AEGIS Training and Readiness Center in Dahlgren, Virginia. I'll tell you, the fucker was ready. Readiness training paid off for him. But he took leave in Dahlgren, Virginia and started driving. Investigators say he told them he planned to point a shotgun at Anderson and then shoot his computer. Okay, that's cool. I mean, that's one thing you can do when you get to the trailer. Instead, though, when he got to Elm Mott after posting one last photo of a Welcome to Texas sign, Pyro Dice threw a piece of gasoline-soaked plastic foam into the back of Anderson's mobile home and lit a flare and set the little thing ablaze. Now, Pyro Dice has retained an attorney. Her name is Susan Kelly Johnston. She claims that his trip to Waco was a last-minute decision during a cross-country trip to visit his parents in Arizona, and that he never intended to hurt Anderson, and he didn't think he was in the trailer when he set the fire.
And see, that's the thing that amuses me. I mean, this guy's 59-year-old.
He's 59.
He
owns a trailer, and he runs a haunted house.
Of course he's home.
Of course he's home, exactly. What's he doing? Sleeping in the haunted house? Out on a date? Not likely. Yeah. Also, Colin and I were a little wary of that statement that it was a last-minute decision. I didn't think that a trip from Virginia to Arizona would take you through Waco, but it turns out if he were going to, say, Tucson, it takes you very close to Waco.
But he's posting his progress.
Exactly.
He's letting mom and dad know that he's okay.
Yeah. Sure
that the trip is going well.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, saying well. Die, pig, die.
Exactly. But
not to mention that if he already told investigators that he was originally going to point a shotgun at him.
Exactly.
Right.
And, But that's lawyer speak, and you know how that goes. James Pack, an investigator with the McLennan County Sheriff's Office, caught up with Pyro Dice after talking to people in several states and in Spain who had been involved in the online feud. Tavares' cell phone records showed that he was in the Waco area at the time of the fire, so that's pretty
Isn't
much a lock.
Spain, where Vendetta comes from.
I don't know. You'd have to fill me in on that. I'm not a comic book geek.
No, I'm not talking about comic books. I'm talking about the idea of the Vendetta.
You're really reaching right now, aren't you?
What? I'm not reaching.
Or
what?
Italy, maybe? Spain, Italy.
I thought it was Spain.
Vendetta. You know, Vendettas.
Anyway.
Go to Vendetta Ohms.
Anyway. The article goes on to list some mundane details of both Pyro Dice and Johnny Darkness's lives. But the last quote from Johnny Darkness strikes me as funny. He says, before this happened, the rule was nobody messes with the haunted house guy. And I'm thinking, actually, no. Before this happened and after this happened, everybody fucks with the haunted house guy because he's a geek who's 59 years old and runs a haunted house and lives in a trailer. So
he's an entrepreneur, Derek.
That's right.
He's living his dream.
That's true. He's got way more initiative than I do, apparently. But let this be a lesson to you kids out there. If you're going to make fun of people online, don't tell them exactly where you live. But this kind of goes hand in hand. And this happened in 2005, so this predated the law. But you remember, Colin, at the beginning of the year, the law that was passed that stated that if you were going to post negative information about somebody on the web, that you had to disclose your full name?
Yeah, I remember that.
And so this kind of goes, hand in
That's
hand.
That's why you did
it. It was designed, obviously, to cut down on anonymous attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You could be prosecuted if you tried to anonymously defame someone.
Wow. That really sucks.
Obviously, you weren't paying attention to the new laws at the beginning of the year.
And look at all the trash you've been talking about.
Look at all the trash you've been talking.
God
You're going to jail. We were just going to keep you here till the cops arrive.
That's right. This was all a trap.
Moon Unit 275, I didn't mean it. I really did not mean it.
Double for Diesel. Didn't mean anything there, baby. It was Lisa. Lisa did everything.
What's Lisa's last name? It's a full name. You got to post a full name.
Oh, Diesel knows her last name.
Diesel knows who she is.
Anyway, back to the news stories at hand, since that one went over so well. Oscar the Death Kitty. I'm sure you've all heard of Oscar the Death Kitty.
No.
No, actually.
You have not heard of Oscar the Death Kitty?
Not heard of
it. Oh, my. Even after this story hit the news wires, of course, at IcanHasCheeseburger.com, there was already a lolcat death kitty. The cat staring at you, and it says, "Eyes psychic, you're next." But
that's great.
Oscar the Death Kitty is a cat who resides in Providence, Rhode Island, and he seems to have an uncanny knack for predicting when nursing home patients are going to die. And he does this by curling up next to them during their final hours. Oscar the cat also does not like to be put out of the room when a patient is dying, and his accuracy, which has been observed in 25 different cases, has led the staff at the nursing home that he resides in to know exactly when to call family members once he has chosen someone. It usually means that the patient has less than 4 hours to live. The quote from Dr. David Dosa is that Oscar doesn't make too many mistakes. He seems to understand when patients are about to die. He describes the phenomenon as a poignant essay in Thursday's... Oh, not as a poignant essay, but in a poignant essay. The essay itself is poignant. He describes Oscar in it, and that essay...
Essay. Keep trying.
Yeah, if you're interested in reading it, is in Thursday's issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Many family members take some solace from it. They appreciate the companionship that the cat provides for their dying loved ones, said Dosa, a geriatrician and assistant professor of medicine at Brown University. The 2-year-old feline was adopted as a kitten and grew up on a third-floor dementia unit at the Steer House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. The facility treats people with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, and other illnesses.
Does Stephen King know about this?
I'm sure.
He does now.
He's already writing the book.
Yeah, Oscar the Death Kitty is going to be the next Stephen King novel. But after about 6 months, the staff noticed that Oscar would make his own rounds, just like the doctors and nurses. He would sniff and observe patients, then sit beside people who would wind up dying in a few hours. Dosa said Oscar seems to take his work seriously and is generally aloof. This is not a cat that's friendly to people.
It's a cat.
It's a cat. And yeah, in general, cats are not friendly. Oscar
is
better...
That's one cat I don't want to see.
That's right. Yeah. Curl up next to you.
Get away!
You's gonna die. You fixin' to die. Oscar, though, is better at predicting death than the people who work at the nursing home.
So layoffs will presume.
That's right.
Start pretty
soon. Going to be that's outsourced right. To Kitty.
It is a lottery. It's a contest. Whoever has the best numbers predicting death get to stay. At this point, Oscar is in residency. Where am I?
You're here.
Wow.
Yes. Dr. Joan Tenno of Brown University, who treats patients at the nursing home and is an expert on care for the terminally ill, has been the one noting how well Oscar predicts the death of the patients. She was convinced of Oscar's talents when he made his 13th, lucky 13th correct call. While observing one patient, Tenno said she noticed that the woman was not eating, was breathing with difficulty, and that her legs had a bluish tinge, signs that death was near. Oscar, though, would not stay with that patient. So Tenno thought that, the cat's streak is broken. Stupid cat, I'm a doctor. Well, it turned out that the doctor's prediction was roughly 10 hours too early. Sure enough, during the patient's final 2 hours, nurses told Tenno that Oscar joined the woman at her bedside. Doctors say most of the people who get a visit from the sweet-faced gray and white cat are so ill they probably don't even know that he's there, so patients aren't aware that he's a harbinger of doom. Most families, though, I'll let you get to it here in a second, but most families are grateful for the advance warning, although one particular family wanted Oscar out of the room while their family member died, and Oscar did not like it. Paces outside and meows with displeasure if Oscar is put out of the room before a patient dies.
Do you think maybe Oscar is really death?
Do you think that Oscar is the Grim Reaper?
Yes.
Well, that is actually covered in the article. I'm getting to it.
Oh, I don't think so. I think maybe Oscar's more like an angel incarnate.
The angel of death?
Yeah. You know, guide their spirits.
Or maybe he was
mistreated
in an earlier cat life. And
well,
he
no
just
one
likes to see people die.
Yes, no one takes kind of like Mother Teresa. No one is certain if Oscar's behavior is scientifically significant or points to a cause. Tenno wonder if the cat notices telltale scents or reads something in the behavior of the nurses who raised him. Nicholas Dodman, who directs an animal behavioral clinic at the Tufts University Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine, has read Dose's article said that the only way to know is to carefully document blah, 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 how Oscar divides his time, whatever. If Oscar really is the furry Grim Reaper, it's also possible that his behavior could be driven by self-centered pleasures, so like the heated blankets that are often piled upon dying people. Little warmth there.
So yeah, but
nursing home staffers aren't concerned with explaining Oscar so long as he gives families a better chance at saying goodbye to their dying loved ones. And he recently received a plaque, which is displayed at the nursing home, which lauds his compassionate hospice care.
With a big skull and crossbones.
That's right. Oscar the deaf kitty.
Okay. So they're noticing that the cat's going where people die, but they aren't noticing that they're putting more blankets on these people?
I think that not necessarily... I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that was just one person trying to... you know how most... You know, you see a UFO and somebody out there is going to say, oh, that's swamp gas.
Right.
Well, they see the deaf kitty and they're like, oh, he's just looking for warmth. Because dead people give off heat. Dead people are often used in furnaces.
They can power our industry.
That's right. You can heat an entire town with four dying people. Little known fact.
Okay.
It's all part of the Matrix.
Yeah.
To make you into one of these.
That's right. Now, you balked at the Mother Teresa comment. You don't think that she... What did she do? She watched people die.
And gave them comfort. I don't know.
Similar to Oscar the Death Kitty. Oscar the Death Kitty on one hand, Mother Teresa on the other.
Maybe Oscar the Death Kitty is Mother Teresa reincarnated.
Oh, dude.
Ooh, that's an interesting theory.
Look at you throwing out theories.
Well, won't she be pissed then? Because reincarnation is really part of the Catholic.
Well, now, how
belief is it? It's like, oh, fuck, I'm a cat. All that time, and now I'm
Catholic?
A cat.
To a cat.
She'll come back next time as a C.
Yeah. Damn
as
Buddhist.
As they a C. Right. Someone give me a C. A C note or a C word?
C diddy. Okay.
Pick your C word.
Now, how many of these people who died with the cat around were actually deathly allergic to cats?
Ha! Yeah, there's that too.
Oh, that if the cat could sense that, wouldn't that be funny?
Okay.
Hey, guys, I'm going to give comfort. I smother your ass.
Let me just curl up here on your
going
face.
Going into epileptic shock. Right. You know,
and I believe that would be anaphylactic shock.
Anaphylactic epileptic.
Anaphylactic. No, anaphylactic shock.
Anaphylactic.
Yeah, that's when several bees sting you in your ass.
Oh, that's hell.
Okay, how many hospitals also let animals run loose in them?
You know, I was concerned by that. I mean, it's obviously an animal, but then again, so are we. And I guess the nurses run loose in this hospital, so can Oscar.
But I'm with Justin on this. If I was put in a
nursing home,
nursing home
for Christ's sake.
Well, I know, but if I was put in a nursing home,
it's
when
the
I'm
dementia
old,
ward.
Shut up. I'm allergic to cats, so having
a
cat run.
It's a dementia ward.
Think
about the river of poo and pee that likely runs through the halls on a daily basis, and you're concerned with one cat.
But he's allergic to cats.
So am I.
Yeah. So just think
about
that.
But I like the death kitty.
You could swell up and die, and it would be the death kitty's fault.
Not necessarily.
It would be the people that let the death kitty run around.
I think it'd be
their fault.
Oh, so you're placing the liability squarely on the shoulders of the nursing home?
Completely.
Yes.
For letting an animal run loose, yes.
Well, I'm sure that when these patients come in, they also come in with complete medical records that can be checked to see if they have an allergy to animal dander. If
that's the case, I'm sure Oscar the Death Kitty
will be kept away from their room.
But he doesn't like to be kept out of their rooms.
Because he's got people to kill. He's got a schedule
to. He has an agenda. He is an efficient
team. Hold up. It's a nursing home, right? It's a hospice.
Right.
These people are going to die anyway.
You're correct.
So even if they're allergic... You know,
what's a
they
little
just go
acceleration?
Quicker.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
What? And make sure that mom stays near the death kitty, all right?
That's
She's
right.
deathly allergic.
Well, it's also...
Here's 50 bucks. Yeah. You know?
It's also Rhode Island, and I'm I hear the population density of Rhode Island is pretty high, so I'm sure that they're thinking, yeah, what's a few?
Yeah.
They're probably thinking we need more cats.
Isn't Rhode Island the state where children need a written note from their parents to buy ice cream?
Rhode Island is the smallest state. They could walk. They could walk to a neighboring state
and get their ice cream.
I'm serious. I think that that's a law.
They could chase the ice cream truck to a neighboring state. That's how small the state is.
Yep, it is.
Crossing state lines.
Where did you get this ice cream thing, honey?
It was on TV years ago.
I got it.
And if it was on TV, of course it was true.
Of course.
I like it. Yeah.
Cutting down on the fat little chillins.
Hmm. A written note of permission to buy ice cream.
Remember that for that
is, crack you can still get without a
That's
note.
True.
It's Rhode Island, you know? It's a small estate, like Derek was saying. So who here has ever met someone from Rhode Island?
Me!
You?
Yeah.
He gets out a lot.
I avoided Rhode Island. I was gonna. We were going to go through Rhode Island on our vacation in 2003, but we were able to avoid it.
You didn't have a note for ice cream, did you?
No. Well, yeah. Plus also it's easy. It's so small you can just juke around it. It's just like, you know, here comes Rhode Island. You missed me.
Rhode Island, dodge the left, you dodge the right.
You don't drive through Rhode Island, you drive past Rhode Island.
That's right. It's like in Rhode Island, bam, gone.
Right.
I hear their largest city is just about as big as the state. I don't know. I could be completely making that up.
Like the ice cream thing.
I wasn't making that up, though. TV really told me.
No, yeah,
Derek
I'm not...
has a computer. Why don't you check?
Did the TV tell you to kill as well?
Oh, all the time, sweetie. But you're still alive, so don't worry.
Okay.
She chooses which channels she listens to.
Hey, Colin, here's an exercise for you. I'm going to check on that ice cream thing, but you've got to fill the time while I do that.
I don't think I have to. I think I should make Justin
do it. Colin Burton!
Yeah, Justin,
Colin
do your routine.
Fill time, go!
Yeah, do your routine,
go,
Justin.
Go.
Do your comedy routine.
Come
Ladies
on.
And gentlemen, you will see my routine this week.
Actually, Justin, we're
It'll
recording this
passed,
with our
yeah.
time machine. We'll be in the future.
Yeah, so you will see it on YouTube if you go to Derek Knight's website on YouTube, which will have both his and my comedy routine that we're doing.
Okay,
I'm not doing a comedy routine.
Yes, he's doing
a magic.
Yes, yeah, so magic. if you see the magic that Derek does, that will be on his YouTube, and he has a link right at his place at sonofcheese.blogspot.com.
Or sonofcheese.com.
Or sonofcheese.com,
Jesus,
too. It's
He paid for his domain.
It's his own domain.
Okay, Justin, why don't you just give us a synopsis of what you'll be doing?
Okay.
Or what you did.
What I did.
What did you do? How'd it go?
It went really well. The crowd was really into it. I was thinking that, you know, I was really nervous at first, but sure enough, you know, the crowd was really,
and
groovy.
And you mentioned needing props. What props did you use?
I used nerd glasses and...
Okay, time's up, and you over there in the back, you're crazy. That's all I can say. I haven't been able to come up with anything that would support your story.
Well, I believe her.
Yeah,
that's probably not making you feel better. But
there's people that believe in Santa Claus, too.
I believe in Santa.
Actually, I believe in I Santa. Dad see... shot him and mounted him.
What?
mounted him?
He mounted him? just to teach him a lesson, or was he a necrophiliac?
Well... Dad has this thing about intruders.
So he will be shot.
Are we still talking about a thing?
He intrudes the intruders. I see. He intrudes upon their privacy and their home.
Yeah, home invasion. You ain't seen shit.
That's right. It's a whole other kind of invasion.
Yeah, but it actually kind of makes sense if they're having a problem with childhood obesity or whatever that they could get away with doing that, being a small state,
being a liberally New Englandy state.
Okay.
I wonder if there's
who's breathing into the microphone.
I wonder if there's a spot that you can, place where you can go to find stupid laws from.
Well, yes,
states.
I'm sure there
yes.
is. I know. Hey, here's another
Try
fun exercise. Try filling some time. Heather, it's your turn.
No, it's not my turn. It's Colin's turn again.
No, I did
yay,
fine
Colin,
last time.
Yay! I know you did really good. That's why you should keep going.
I don't think I should.
I think
Colin,
you should.
Colin.
Well, you were filling time right there. I don't think I need to do anything. So back to Justin and his
yes, it was nerd comedy. It was nerd comedy, nerdcore.
You got to be careful with the nerd comedy because you know what happened with the Waco guy.
Yeah, you got to be really
pyro dice.
However, I didn't insult anybody in my comedy. It was actually more of just to find out, you know, who was a nerd in the crowd and who
and
wasn't.
And point them out and laugh at them?
And point them out. You suck. No. No, it was just me playing around and being kind of goofy.
See,
and,
here's
it was
the thing,
a lot of
people.
Fun.
Okay, it's tomorrow night that they're going to be going up, which would have been three nights ago. And we're trying to get Justin, two nights ago, whatever. We're trying to get Justin to show us what he's going to do because we're not all going up there. And he's being very...
shy.
Well,
very
shy. I do have a list of Rhode Island's stupidest laws up, and I don't see anything here about ice cream. Although, I do see that professional sports, except ice polo and ice hockey, must obtain a license to play games on Sunday.
What the hell is ice polo? You can't put a horse on ice.
Oh, yes, you can.
Little and, ice skates on...
And that is such compelling entertainment that you can play on Sunday without a permit.
Wow.
Yeah, it's true, apparently. It's on the books.
Wow.
In Rhode Island, the smallest state in the Union.
Isn't ice hockey kind of like ice polo, only without the horses?
Yeah.
And we're clipping.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's because the horses kept falling through the lake. Yeah. They're like, wow, we really got to figure out a way to make this less dangerous. Well, I don't know. We could do away with the horses. Oh, they weigh a lot, don't they? Horses are heavy, right? Jesus, they're heavy.
So. To be on the ice skis or whatever the...
ice skis? Do you mean ice skates?
No. What are the snowmobiles? Snowmobiles.
Ice skis.
They ski on the ice.
No, I believe ice skis.
In a mobile way.
Yes.
On the snow, so they're kind
exactly,
of snowmobiles.
Right, ice skis. On the ice skis. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I rent ice skis every winter.
Maybe ice polo is like water polo. On top of the surface.
Actually, no, I'd prefer it be under the surface. That would lend a sense of urgency to the game that you just don't find when you can come up for air.
You're like, no overtime.
Yeah, not until you score four goals, mister. But he's turning blue. That's good for him.
But the goalie's floating on his back.
He's a gold character.
That's the butterfly position.
He's doing the dead man float.
That's right.
Don't worry, it's just called the dead man float.
So, what about snowmobiles?
What about
trying
them?
To? What, couldn't they use that instead of horses?
You just don't know when to stop, do you, sweetheart?
I'll tell you what. Hey, kids, I'm going to look up ice polo on the interweb.
All right.
And you guys are going to fill some time. Go.
Yeah, go, Justin, go.
See, I think a dead man float would taste horrible.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be all carbony, wouldn't it?
Two scoops of dead man and some root beer.
It'd be all wiggly.
It's protein of goodness.
It moves like Jell-O, but it doesn't taste like Jell-O.
It's just not Jell-O. There's always room for Jell-O. And there's always room for dead man float.
Okay.
Yeah. He's looking at giving me such a look, like, I can't believe you went there.
Ah, here we go. This is fun. Okay, this is something you'll like.
Do they use snowmobiles?
Ice polo, a winter sport similar to ice hockey, is almost exclusively played in the New England states. A rubber-covered ball is used,
on
and the
Sundays.
Stick is heavier than that used in ice hockey. The radical difference between the two games is that ice polo has horses. No, there is no strict offside rule, so that passes and shots may come from anywhere and often in the most unexpected direction. Five men constitute a team, a goaltender, a half-hack, a center, and two rushers. The rushers must be rapid skaters, adept in dribbling and passing, and good goal shotting. Shooting.
Shotting? Is
with
that a new
ice
England
skis.
Thing?
Yeah.
That's right. The center...
they play it in winter, so they take a couple shots between rounds.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
So got to be expert at shotting.
There you go.
Yeah.
The center supports the rushers, passing the ball to them or trying for the goal himself. The half-back, says half-hack earlier, half-back here.
Oh, I thought it was half-hack.
Is the first defense, and the goaltend is the last. The rink is 150 feet long. So ice polo minus horses is pretty much hockey with a heavier stick and a rubber ball.
And no offsides.
No wonder hockey became the more popular of the two sports.
Yet both can be played on Sunday without
a permit in Rhode Island. I mean, just in case
God
you're
help
hoping.
You if you play football on Sunday.
Oh, you're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
You're just
You look
absolutely
so serious. Hosted.
Yeah, they burn you.
At the stake, no less. They do that. They do that to witches too.
They've got to do it to keep the heat during those cold times.
They run out of the dead and the dying. So.
Kitty, so.
Yeah, all those dead man floats.
Yes. Well, we were so wonderfully prepared for this episode. I hope that we were able to hold your attention long enough to get to this point. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. You've been listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With us, as always, Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Have a great week, everyone.
Special guests in studio this week included...
Heather Knight!
From Matted Spam.
Bye!
Justin Carmichael, the Jew Wario, from his little website over wherever that is.
Fuck Montrose.
And Justin's wife, Jennifer.
Hello, bye, have everyone. Everyone have a good time.
Have everyone good time. Have everyone good time, bunch of friends. We'll see you back again next Wednesday.